You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
We're finally into draft week.
And let's go Buffalo!
Mike Danger.
Look, I know I'm 12 years old, Gino. I have a very juvenile sense of humor. Farts are and will always be hilarious to me.
Gene Battaglia.
25% of the Buffalo Bills are for sale.
Danger, you want to put in a bid here, bud?
You've got the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Let's go!
Isak Rosén makes it back-to-back just like that, and the Amerks lead it once more. It's 3-2.
The Rochester Amerks clinched the 2 seed in the North Division. They'll be facing off against Syracuse in the best-of-5 series.
Amerks crunch Friday at 7.
Game 1.
Playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, folks.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Scotty Scheffler, that's 4 victories in his last 5 starts and 10 over the last 26 months.
The Nighthawks also secured a spot in the NLL playoffs.
Score! 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Less than 20 minutes away from our conversation with Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports draft analyst. We'll stop by the sports bar here right around 4:25, 4:30. We appreciate you checking out the sports bar, however you may be doing so. 95.7 FM, AM 950 locally, the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can get us on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. And you can also check out the video stream, the Fan Rochester YouTube channel, and also twitch.tv/TheFanRochester.
Knocking cameras off.
Is that what happened over there?
Yeah, totally. Like, it's got this weird thing that if you just adjust it, sometimes the whole thing will fall apart. So very, very sensitive.
We actually got a message on our Twitch stream from something we were talking about earlier today when we were talking with Mike Catalano about the future of the Rochester Nighthawks. And I mentioned how in Terry Pegula's press conference when they acquired the team, it almost sounded as if he was doing it out of charity. This from 585 Ron in the Twitch stream was not out of charity. They brought back the Nighthawks to continue to keep a team when the former owner took the team to Halifax. Team officials are saying they're not leaving, guys. Okay.
Okay, Ron, yeah, we know the story, but go back and listen to the press conference on September 13th, 2018. He called it a contribution to the Rochester community. In fact, I think we have the audio here. So, Ron, I appreciate you writing in. You're writing and listening, but, like, yeah, we know the story. We definitely know the story.
It will have the Nighthawks legacy, and we're very proud to contribute again to the Western New York and the Rochester community by keeping the team here.
Contribute.
Yeah.
It's a contribution. It sounds a little charity-like. Like, okay, well, we're doing it again. We're just bailing out Western New York. Here we are, the Pegulas, just contributing to Rochester, contributing to Western New York.
Yeah, it probably, if you called him and said, hey, the team, you know, I'd like to purchase the Rochester Nighthawks, they would listen to you. There's no doubt about that. We've been talking today about how the Pegulas are apparently putting up 25 up to, again, it's kind of just a round number there, according to Tim Graham. Like, a portion of the Buffalo Bills is up for sale. That somebody identifying as Dr. Jekyll writing in, could the Buffalo Bills do a Green Bay and sell stock to people to make up the money?
Ah, yes. Everybody loves that idea.
No, never, ever, ever would the NFL allow that. They want to control, because here's a little secret, right? kind of sort of like a pyramid scheme, right? Like you want to buy in and then eventually you want to cash out and you have generational wealth when you're done. Or maybe you pass it along. You know what doesn't happen? When you go to the model of, say, the Green Bay Packers. So, yes, absolutely. I would love that. Would it ever happen? No, not in a million years.
Dan reaching out to us on Elon's Twitter. That's X at the Fan Rochester. Excited for Friday because it's looking like me and my girlfriend will be going to Bill Gray's Tap Room in Chi Lai. Perk is I get to see Danger and Battaglia. Hopefully, Dan, you know we'll be there. That's Friday for day two of the draft. Now, Thursday, we should mention we will be at our usual spot for day one. That will be Three Heads Brewing. Rochester's largest patio will be open. I haven't looked at the forecast yet, but it's open for the season.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be dry.
Dry.
Yeah.
All right. You can check out that new Melon Head Watermelon Sour, other fine beers that they have there on Thursday. Delicious wood fire pizza from Freddy's. That's coming up Thursday as we broadcast live from 3 until 6 for day one of the NFL draft. And then you know the deal at Three Heads. We hang out afterwards. We commiserate.
We can share a cold one and maybe a win or two.
And then we're going to double up. But we're going to do it again Friday for day two of the draft. We'll take the show to Chi Lai. Tap Room at Bill Gray's Chi Lai Avenue location. That's the location Dan is referring to. And like Dan, we hope to see you out there Friday for day two of the NFL.
You know why we have Friday? Because Friday, you could say, is just as important to NFL teams picking the second and third round. It's also still reacting to what happened Thursday night because so many storylines will come out of Thursday night and we're all kind of reacting to it and we're all comparing notes and takes and everything else like that. So you can start your weekend Thursday and Friday. And you know what? If you come out to both, you're getting a little love from us. Certainly.
Let's get to some takes before we get Trapasso in here in a little bit.
Yeah, present the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, went on a podcast with Ryan Clark where he talked about career goals. Quote, I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12. He's talking about Brady there.
Yeah.
What on earth? Terry Pegula and his win multiple Stanley Cups line are embarrassed by this quote. Danger.
Oh, Gino, you're trolling me right now. This is a complete troll job. You're bringing this up because you want me to overreact. You want me to get pissed off that you would even question this kid.
Well, how?
What's he supposed to say?
How about just like, let's have a really good camp. I want to win some games. I want to learn. Like, I want to, like, have a better career than Tom Brady. Are you kidding?
That's I would want like every prospect to say that.
No, that's lunacy.
It's not lunacy. It's okay. I want these guys to be crazy. I want them to be pissed off for greatness. I want them to say things like, I can be what Tom Brady is. That's goals. Those are dreams. Nothing. You see, now you got me. Now I'm fired up. Now I'm defending my guy. He's not even my guy yet.
He is your guy. He's going to go there. And my concern for you being my friend, is that we're going to see Caleb Williams and the team starts out 1-5 and it's really not looking good. And by the way, you could say anything you want about Belichick. He did foster this environment around Brady that sort of worked, and Drew Bledsoe was a part of that. Do you have that environment in Chicago? I'm not so sure. Take it one step at a time. I'm trying to manage your expectations, buddy.
Buddy, I'm going to be okay. I'll be fine. And I don't hate this. I don't know what he's supposed to say. And I don't know what Terry Pegula was supposed to say. I mean, multiple Stanley Cups now, in hindsight, we look at it and we're like, yeah, he's crazy. But at the time, we were all eating it up.
Oh, my gosh. We were all eating it up.
We were all eating it up.
But then you got to be a man of your word. You got to follow through.
What I want to hear from any prospect, no matter what your team is, what you'd want to hear is, I'm here to win championships. That's all I want to hear. When Caleb Williams gets drafted on Thursday, I don't want to hear him talk about how he can't wait to try deep dish pizza. I don't want to hear him talk about how cold the winters are.
I like the bear or whatever.
I want him to say, I am here to kill. I'm here to assassinate. I am here to win championships for the Chicago Bears. Anything short of that, I don't know what anybody else wants to hear, but that's what I want to hear.
You and Tony, your buddy, are going to go out to Chicago, aren't you? You're going to be so excited to watch this guy.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
I see the love affair. Well,
maybe
growing.
I'll take a day or two and leave you hanging here in the sports bar by yourself. You and Dan DeLorean can do the show as well. I'm spending a couple extra days
in Chicago. We'll be all fine.
Yeah, we'll work it out. Hey, and not to be a boner killer here for some hot uniform talk. You know we love some hot uniform talk in the sports bar, but our last guest, and we touched on this a little bit here, the icon, he brought up something today around the release of Denver's new threads. I think this stance will make you happy that the Bills don't participate in the now annual tradition of changing up a team's uniform. It's something that poorly run teams, bad teams, do to distract their fans from the fact that they're poorly run and bad. Check your notes. The Jets, bad. The Broncos, bad. Falcons, bad. Teams you don't see doing this. The Steelers, the Ravens, the Packers, and yes, the Bills. Hot uniform talk is a lot of fun. We love doing it here in the sports bar at the expense of the horrible teams who wear them. Yeah, you're doing the thing. You're doing the meme of the girl going, not sure if you like it. No, it's a good take. Bad teams do this. Good teams don't need to do this.
What was unusual about the Broncos rollout was they rolled it out, and we're like, okay, so you look kind of like a cross between the Bears and the Falcons and everything. Like, where you should have just gone back to the throwback, and like an hour later, here we are. Oh, this is so great. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. Now, I'll add the Bears to that list. The one with the orange helmet and everything. Like, here's our new look. Stupid. It's what bad teams do to distract their fans. It's a reminder that you're a bad team. The Bucks. I mean, the Bucks were a playoff team, but you're doing things at a time when they brought back Bucko Bruce. It just so happened to coincide with the time when Tom Brady was about to hang it up. Maybe we're going to be bad with Baker Mayfield. We don't know. I just think it's become clear that the teams that engage in this most frequently are bad teams. Yeah, poorly run teams.
I never even thought about that. Like, the Chiefs don't have a third helmet.
No. They're not doing the alternate jersey. They're not wondering when are we going to roll out our black. Now, you could say the Eagles. The Eagles, okay, maybe the Eagles, I would say, they do it because the Kelly green is such a classic look, and the fan base wants it.
The Bengals did it, too.
The white. The white, that's a clean look as well. I just think the majority of the teams that engage in this annual tradition now of changing up our logos or adding a new jersey or whatever it is. Gino, when the Bills roll out the red helmet that everybody wants them to roll out, when that happens,
they're going
to
be bad.
it's them telling you, we don't think we're going to be very good this year.
Well, they could have done that the day after Steph Diggs. They would have been like, oh, okay, you have Steph.
All is forgiven. We've forgotten everything. Well, how quickly things change, by the way. I mean, Diggs is gone, and now everybody is so quick to just pile dirt on Diggs. That's going to be a hard guy to replace. Hard guy to replace. The production, maybe you spread it out, but the guy, the player, the talent, hard talent to replace.
Wow. Will the Bills be out in front of this? Hey, here's A.D. Mitchell, our first round pick, or whoever in that may be. Will we hear that? He is not here to replace Steph Diggs. Will you hear that on draft night?
Of course. Nobody can replace Steph Diggs. That'll be the answer. Well, nobody can replace Steph Diggs. You're going to be sold. Whoever it is. We're going to be over the moon. We're head over heels. It doesn't matter.
That is true of the Bills and every other team. See Caleb Williams and the Bears and everything else. Which sport danger do you think is going to look radically different when you tune in, say, 2-3 years from now? I'm going to say it's the NBA. You know what today is? Today is the day the exclusive window for ESPN and Warner, or the owners of TNT, have to negotiate a renewal. I think that's going to kind of expire, which means NBA executives and business people think the new deal could be $60 to $75 billion, which is about 2.5 more times the current deal. Like, where are they going to go? Amazon, Apple? I mean, the current deal, by the way, expires after next season.
So both ESPN and TNT could potentially be out of the NBA business when it's all said and
done. I would be surprised that. We've kind of settled in, like, it's on one or the other. And yep. I think for ESPN, it makes sense. Hey, here's the bigger games. Put a Saturday game on ABC. And I feel like
ESPN won't renew. I feel like ESPN would be the one that would back out. Because they don't have that kind of, like, they're trying to sell. Disney's trying to sell.
I think you're right on that for this reason. Notice who, they were almost sending signals of cooing up to the NHL. When you're spotlighting the NHL, when the NBA is opening up the same time, that's almost like a preemptive.
It's a more affordable form of content, and you could argue that the product is better in the postseason than what the NBA puts out there. You can make that argument.
I would make the argument, though, it's inverted. Like, right now, we're like, oh, my gosh, hockey is so great. It's so great. When we get to the finals in the NBA, the conference finals, for that matter,
sure,
we'll all be glued. These first-round matchups, okay, who won? Home team, home team, home team, home. How exciting is that? We didn't have one upset there in all the opening games.
Oh, and to further my point from last week, by the way, speaking of not exciting, congratulations on Scottie Scheffler for winning every PGA tournament for the rest of the year. Boring. It's boring. Oh, let's look at the leaderboard. Who do we got? Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Colin Morikawa. You're kidding me. Really? Again? The same three guys? Is this what we're going to get for the rest of the golf season?
Golf has a big problem.
They have a big problem, dude. A big problem, and it's called LIV. The LIV Tour, whether we want to admit it or not, has harmed the PGA. I don't know they're coming back from this. They have to do this merger. They've got to get these guys on the course together again, because as great as Scottie Scheffler is, this is boring. It's not a compelling product when the same guy is winning every week. And I know we say, oh, Tiger won every week. What's wrong? What's the difference between Tiger and Scottie Scheffler? Tiger did it against the best in the world. Scheffler's doing it against a bunch of slappies, Xander Shifley and Wyndham Clark. That's it. That's his competition. Got to get those guys back together. It's a tough thing. I mean, I want to see greatness. I don't know that what I'm seeing. I don't know if Scottie, he's great. Great golfer. Did it again at the Masters. What more could you ask for? I just want something other than milquetoast Scottie Scheffler winning every weekend for the golf.
I miss John Rahm.
Yes, John Rahm, of course.
John Rahm.
We've got to get to, oh yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that John Rahm, he's pretty good, but he's playing for LIV now, Danger.
We gotta get
to Chris DePasso.
It's a good Western New York name. CBS Sports draft analyst. We're gonna talk to Chris one last time before we get to Thursday, day one of the NFL draft in Detroit. And which direction will Brandon Bean and the Buffalo Bills head? We'll get Chris's latest thoughts and thoughts on his latest mock as well. That's coming up next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Trading the NFL today, where the Jets sending quarterback Zach Wilson to Denver. The Jets in return getting a pick swap with the Broncos. We'll talk about the NFL draft coming up, of course, on Thursday. Chris DePasso, CBS Sports, joining us next year in the Sports Bar. Time for the postseason for both the Amherst and the Nighthawks. The Amherst host Syracuse. Game one of the best of five is Friday night. Game two also at the Blue Cross Arena on Sunday afternoon. The Nighthawks get in. They'll be up in Toronto coming up on Saturday. On the Major League scoreboard, one final where the A's scored two in the top of the ninth. They defeat the Yankees 2-0. Manager Aaron Boone in this game tossed in the first inning. Wings are off tonight. They begin a series tomorrow in St. Paul, Minnesota. Three games in the NBA tonight, including the Knicks and Sixers at MSG New York, up 1-0. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us and looking forward to Thursday, Friday, this entire weekend. Really going to feel like football is back with the NFL draft. Rounds 1 and 2, Thursday and Friday. And let's start talking about what the Bills could be doing here with that pick at 28. Do they move up? Well, one of our favorites to talk NFL draft because he does such a great job at CBS Sports is our buddy Chris Trapasso, repping the 585. Let's talk about it, Chris. We know that this is your silly time, your busy time of year. We appreciate you stopping by and giving us one last conversation before we get to Thursday. Right now, where's your head at as far as what the Bills could do, what Brandon Bean should do, and you know how everything kind of falls to them here when they're picking on Thursday night?
Yeah, great question. I think that's the one that's on everyone's mind. It's more so than any other draft in the Brandon Bean and even Sean McDermott era going back to 2018, 2017. I don't know what they're going to do. There's so many new assistant coaches, people that are probably pretty prominent in these war rooms and all these draft discussions that the Bills have had at One Bills Drive over the last couple months, that we can't really go by past prototypes. Do they go for the smaller separators like a Stephon Diggs, a John Brown, a Cole Beasley, or do they like the bigger defensive ends like they've always had, or is Bobby Babbage going to have kind of a stamp on this draft as a new defensive coordinator? We don't know if he's going to call the plays yet, but maybe the Bills go in a different direction in that sense. But I do think that Brandon Bean will have a hard time not trading up in this draft. I think A.D. Mitchell, if they stay put, makes a lot of sense. But the trade-up, which I think makes the most sense if you are on that train, would be a slight trade-up to get Brian Thomas Jr. Joe Brady obviously didn't coach him at LSU, but has the connections to that LSU program. He just feels like that bigger-bodied, explosive receiver that can create those big plays, either just with the ball in his hands or just blowing past cornerbacks, that the Bills will not have to mortgage the future, you know, next year's first, second, a lot of extra picks in order to get him. So he kind of feels like, if you're more on the aggressive side and think that's where Brandon Bean will go, Brian Thomas Jr. seems to make the most sense to me.
So how far do you think they would have to get? Like, I'm assuming you don't give up next year's one, but maybe a two or something. Like, how far up would you have to go to get Brian Thomas Jr.?
Somewhere between pick 15, which is the Colts, and the Steelers at 20. There was a report, I think Adam Schefter and Jeremy Fowler from ESPN kind of posted an article about what they're hearing for ESPN Plus earlier today. And in it was that the Steelers are reportedly, and again, it still is lying season. We heard from Bill Belichick that not really until the day of the draft do we get some real information, but that the Steelers were really smitten with Brian Thomas Jr. and they picked 20. You have the Jaguars at 17, the Bengals at 18. I don't know if either of those teams would be really keen on making a trade with the Bills, although the Jaguars did last year when the Bills picked Dalton Kincaid. So I feel like in that 15 to 20 range, which again, maybe that would only be pick 28 and pick 60 in order to move up 8 to 10 spots to get Brian Thomas Jr.
All right, so let's talk about if we have bigger eyes and we say to ourselves, you know what, Brian Thomas Jr. is nice, but really the guy that they should go get is a Roma Dunze type of guy. How do the Bills find their way into the top 10 and get a guy that you feel like is probably more of a can't-miss prospect?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I could see the Bills certainly targeting that, and maybe this is the week, probably this is the week, where and the time where Brandon Bean will be calling those teams, like the Bears at 9, Titans at 7, even maybe Falcons at 8. There's a decent chance, I don't think it's guaranteed, but there's a good chance that one of those big three receivers, whether it's Marvin Harrison Jr., the least likely, Roma Dunze, and Malik Nabers from LSU are there when the Bears pick at 9. And I think to do that, they would probably have to give up next year's first, maybe a mid-rounder next year as well, fourth or fifth, along with pick 60 and, of course, 28 in this year's draft. So it would be a lot to give up, but it would have a direct impact on your quarterback, Josh Allen. He would have a direct impact on that, you know, quote-unquote, can't-miss receiver, ultimately being a instant impact type that would help out the rest of the offense. You could certainly wrap your brain around it. Not for most teams, but for a team that feels like they're very close but now has a wide receiver need, and we've always gone back to that would have to be a Julio Jones-esque trade up. Well, that trade worked for the Falcons. They were a 28-3 score in the Super Bowl away from winning a Super Bowl. They had Roddy White at the time, but they needed a little bit more of a jolt. And Julio Jones had a Hall of Fame career there and was integral in a lot of those awesome offenses in Atlanta. So the precedent that set really worked out for that team. So I wonder if Brandon Bean is looking at those parameters and eyeing which spot he would have to get to in the top 10 to get a Rome Odunze or a Malik Nabers.
All right, so we've mentioned a couple of LSU wide receivers. Compare and contrast here the difference between a guy like Nabers, who could be a top 10 overall pick, versus a guy like Thomas, who the Bills might only have to trade up a little bit to go and get. What does Nabers offer that Thomas doesn't? What makes these two wide receivers different in your eyes?
Very good question. Malik Nabers is my wide receiver one in this class, and that is electricity down the field after the catch. I think you can look at Marvin Harrison Jr. and see a very polished wide receiver who's pretty big, has the lineage, obviously, with his dad. He runs awesome routes, tracks it amazingly. The route running for Malik Nabers is not to Marvin Harrison's level, but after the catch, Malik Nabers is a different beast than anyone in this class. That's including Marvin Harrison Jr. When he catches that 8-yard comeback, it might be a 70-yard touchdown. That's how quickly he can accelerate and get from 0 to 60. He had a 42-inch vertical at the LSU Pro Day, ran in the low 4.3s. With Brian Thomas, you get a little bit more size, but not as much dynamic after-the-catch ability, and he's not quite as good tracking the football down the field. To me, Malik Nabers is as complete as you're going to get at wide receiver. He reminds me of a Brandon Ayuk or a CeeDee Lamb when they were both coming out of Arizona State and Oklahoma. They weren't polished Marvin Harrison-esque route runners, but their athleticism, the stop and start ability, was just on another level.
We're talking to Chris DiPasso, our friend from CBS Sports, as the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. I think a lot of Bills fans would kind of nod and be like, okay, that's good if the Bills actually stayed at 28 and said, ended up with a Ladd McConkey. What would be great is, like, okay, say they went in a different direction. What are the odds? Where do you have McConkey falling? Could he fall, I don't think to 60, but maybe somewhere early second round, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think with the Bills, they're at 28, and the Chiefs at 32, those are two spots for McConkey that are pretty reasonable. But I do know, and I mean, I don't know the specifics, but I do know that some teams have a little bit of concern about his injury past. That this past season, if you look at the stats, you see 30 catches, and it's like, why did he only have 30 catches? It wasn't because he wasn't productive when he was on the field, but he battled a myriad of injuries last season at Georgia. 5'11", 185 pounds, doesn't have a big, sturdy frame. So if Ladd McConkey is not picked in the first round, which I think his film is first-round caliber, it'll probably be because of the medical concerns. And then all of a sudden, he's there mid to late 30s, early 40s. And maybe if the Bills go in a different direction and go completely the other side of the ball on defense in the first round, that's where we could see the Brandon Bean trade-up. He's done it before, did it with Cody Ford. He did it with Dawson Knox from the fourth round to the third round in that same draft, 2019. So there is some precedent for Brandon Bean making that trade up, but just after the first round ends.
Chris, when we heard from Brandon Bean last week during the voluntary portion of the offseason program, he mentioned that, you know, the smokescreen of, we don't really need a wide receiver one, or we don't, you know, the idea that they're looking for a person, a player, who can not only do all the physical things that you would want your wide receiver one to do, you're trying to replace Steph Diggs after all, but he also mentioned the intellect, which leads you to believe, like, this person is going to be expected to come in and contribute immediately, day one, and pick up that playbook and get it. So my question is, you have all these wide receiver prospects, and it's a deep class, and you could get somebody later in the later rounds, but which one of these prospects do you think checks that intellect box that Brandon Bean referenced last week?
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I guess we'll ultimately see if Brandon Bean was telling the truth on wanting to get a true wide receiver one, or it was just total part of lying season. To me, it would probably be Ladd McConkey. I mean, the fact that last season wasn't quite as productive, like I mentioned, 30 catches because of the injuries, but the year before, his offensive coordinator was Todd Monken, who was now the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator. A pretty complex system. They like to run the ball, but the receivers ran a variety of routes. It wasn't just bubble screens and RPOs. So I think Ladd McConkey, like, in terms of who could be in the Bills' range would make a lot of sense to tick that box. I think Marvin Harrison Jr., like I mentioned, is the most just purely polished wide receiver who can run what we always hear about, that full route tree. He can run any route that you want and get open. But after that, I think in that range, mid to late 20s, maybe even into the early second, like you guys mentioned, Ladd McConkey just looks like the most polished, ready-to-go player in terms of not even just running routes, but finding that hole in zone, understanding when to come back for the football, things like that. I think he does a lot of those nuances very well.
Christopher Hassel, CBS Sports, our guest. Chris, a two-part question. One, because a lot of people speculating that we could have a record number of offensive players go in round one. If you believe that's true, would there be something to be said here for, well, just go to where the value is, and that actually might point the Bills in the direction of defense in round one?
That is an awesome question, and it's something that I think Bills fans have to kind of brace themselves for. That, remember, the draft is 7 rounds. The Bills have 10 picks. I know most of them are on day three, but they've hit on a lot of day three prospects like Khalil Shakir, Christian Benford, Taron Johnson was a 4th-round pick. So, I think we could see 20, 21, maybe even 22 offensive players in round one, and suddenly if 4, 5, 6, 7 receivers are already off the board when the Bills go on the clock, and Jared Verse from Florida State, the edge rusher, is there, or Chop Robinson from Penn State is also there, or maybe even on the interior, Johnny Newton from Illinois, Byron Murphy from Texas. I think those are other need positions, and that would be awesome value for any of those players that I mentioned, that the Bills would maybe think, look, we didn't have the wide receiver class fall to us. Maybe they made some trade offers, but the asking price was too rich. They're trying to kind of free up cap space and kind of recoup everything on the salary side for 2025. That's why they traded Stephon Diggs and are eating all the money now. Maybe they don't want to, you know, waste, but use some of those assets in a huge trade up. I think it would make sense to just go best player available and let the depth of the receiver class kind of come to you at pick 60. And probably even later on, you could pick a receiver in round 2 and round 5, and then even pick one late if you wanted. I mean, the Green Bay Packers did that 2 years ago. They drafted 3 receivers, and it turned out very well for them.
Chris, I want to kind of follow up what Gene is asking about and talk more about the Bills and how they value positions, positional value, and whether or not there's something to be said for them having that control of cost with the first round draft pick. Do they value wide receiver enough to have that cost control, or would they be better served on the defensive side of the ball and controlling the cost for the first 5 years of a player on the defensive line?
Well, it's a great question, because we have seen wide receiver and interior defensive line, those salaries skyrocket. So what you're hinting at is, you know, it's why a quarterback on a rookie deal is so valuable to a team, because you're getting him at $3, $4, $5 million cap hit when the top player at that position is making $50 million a year, or 55. We're going to start to see some huge contracts. I think either of those two spots, because wide receiver has gotten super expensive. We might even see the, you know, 49ers trade Brandon Ayuk really at the prime of his career after a second team all-pro season, because he might command $25 to $30 million a year. But certainly defensive tackles, with Christian Wilkins signing the big deal, the Bills could think, hey, look, we're not really spending a ton there. We got Ed Oliver on a cheap deal. And maybe, again, we will see, does Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott together say, we need more interior pass rush? I think the Bills need that. Daquan Jones is great. Austin Johnson, great, but they're not up the field rushers, and I think that in the playoff games that's been kind of a concern, where they have not been able to generate a push on the inside. So to answer your question, I think both of those two positions, there's such a big gulf between having that player on a rookie deal and the top dollar at that position, that to me, both of those spots, wide receiver and defensive tackle, actually maybe would make the most sense just from a financial standpoint for the Bills in the first round.
So the Bills do not have a 3rd-round pick, but they got picks on day 3 here, Chris. And I don't think we spend enough time talking about day 3 because, well, we're not familiar with all these names, but you are. So I'll just ask the question kind of broad. Like, in this draft, day 3, rounds 4 through 7, what positions are the deepest, would you say?
Wide receiver is really good. I mean, I think it's gotten to the point where it's a little bit overrated, because I've gotten asked on a bunch of other radio spots, like, is this the best wide receiver class ever? And I'm not going to go that far. If the Bills wanted to add some depth on the offensive line, it's awesome on the interior. And I'm of the belief, Connor McGovern can move to center, and I think he can be fine there. Am I really confident in David Edwards as like a 16-game high-level starter at left guard? That really wasn't the case in L.A. with the Rams. I mean, he was a little bit up and down. So if they wanted to add a guard or a center, there's great depth on day three there. Guys who can truly play center or guard, a bunch of them. And I think interior defensive line, like I mentioned, if they do go in other directions earlier, I think there's a bunch of names on the interior of the defensive line who fourth, fifth, sixth round picks who can be solid players. The one spot I'm a little concerned about, I don't love the edge rusher class. There's those big four that are going to go in the first round that all of your listeners have heard about for the last 3 months. After that, I think you're almost rolling the dice and just hoping that someone can really materialize as a solid player at the edge rusher spot if you had to pick him later in this draft.
Chris, when you think about how the board falls to the Bills here at the end of the first draft, let's talk a little bit about the sexiest position on the field and quarterback and how many you think could go in round one. And conversely, I also think it's interesting when you look at the players that could get drafted in round one. Is there a player that you're seeing here in your process that if they do go in round one, they're likely to disappoint the team that drafts them?
Yeah, that is the ultimate question just broadly with the draft, that we get so hyped up and we get kind of set into, all right, who's going to be the first quarterback? Who's going to be the second quarterback? And we all assume the order at which they go is how their careers are going to unfold. And we know from history that that's certainly not the case. What is interesting, though, is in 2020, that class could be one of the best ever with Joe Burrow, Tua, Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. Like, that class was outstanding and all those guys became quality quarterbacks. I don't know if we're going to get that again. The one player who kind of scares me and I think is the most situation-dependent quarterback in the class is Bo Nix. If he lands with Sean Payton at 12, I think that would be way too early for him, and maybe that would be a good landing spot just because of he's kind of a point guard. That's what Drew Brees was, but he's not Drew Brees as a processor with his accuracy, things like that. He, of all the top four, five, or six, if you want to include Michael Penix, scare me the most, but I will be surprised if five quarterbacks don't go in the first round. There've seen some mock drafts and it might actually be all six. That's what we thought last year. We thought Will Levis was going to be the second overall pick and he went all the way into the second round. So I still think the big four will go relatively early, well before the Bills pick. And whether it's Penix or Bo Nix, I think one other team in the middle of the draft will either just pick that quarterback or we'll see a team move back into the first to get either Bo Nix or Michael Penix somewhere before the Bills pick, maybe in the teens or early 20s.
Do you see any surprises at the top of the draft? Could we have like a New England, you know what, we're going to wait on quarterback here, or Arizona not taking Harrison? Like, is there anything that you could see that we're all kind of wrong on here, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's what's so fun is that even for me, and it's like fun to be proven wrong, which seems weird, but like I pour so much time and effort into this that I've come to grips with the fact that in this job, you almost embrace the chaos. And even an Adam Schefter or a Daniel Jeremiah or a Peter Schrager can go into covering the draft at NFL Network or ESPN and like legitimately be surprised when picks come in. I don't think we're going to see the Cardinals move out of four. It feels like they, you know, moved up and down last year. They missed out on Will Anderson. They traded back up, got Paris Johnson, the tackle, who didn't have that great of a rookie season. I think they're just like, look, we're positioned at four. We've built a team. We have a lot of picks in this class. Let's just pick Marvin Harrison Jr. to give Kyler Murray, you know, a true weapon. What I'm like, the team that I think really can change the entire first round is the LA Chargers. We don't know if Jim Harbaugh is just being on brand and he's in lockstep with his new GM from Baltimore, Joe Hortis, to say, hey, look, we're going to pick an offensive lineman. Like, that's what I want. We all think of offensive linemen when we think of Jim Harbaugh. But are they going to trade back from five and let a team move up for a quarterback? Are they going to pick, if Marvin Harrison Jr. was there or if Malik Nabers is there, are they just going to pick a wide receiver to help Justin Herbert after losing Keenan Allen and Mike Williams? That team, to me, I think kind of holds the keys of what happens and kind of how the dominoes fall in the first round of this draft.
Gino, indulge me for a second, and Chris, humor me. What are the Bears getting in Caleb Williams when he gets drafted first overall? Tell me. Just tell me. Tell this Bears fan it's going to be okay.
I think it's going to be okay. As long as, and this is the biggest caveat, as long as his head is on straight, the on-the-field stuff is awesome. It is franchise caliber, and I'll even admit some of the things early on or that were happening late in the season and then early in the process, it would have been easy for me to go into the film and go, you know what? He kind of has a bad attitude. I don't really like the film. I'm out on him. But I was so convinced by the film that I will be surprised, very surprised, if he just flames out. Now, again, it feels like some of the early reports that were he was upset with Chicago, doesn't want to go there. I think maybe those have kind of fizzled because he realizes, hey, we have Keenan Allen, we have DJ Moore, we have a good young offensive line, a decent defense. We're probably going to pick a wide receiver at 9. Like, he actually is in one of the best number one overall pick environments that we've seen in a very long time to have those veterans around him and a young talent at receiver, presumably. So I think he's going to be fine. I don't know what Geno thinks. I think he's going to be good.
Well, to be determined. I mean, I kind of latch on to the crying his mom's arms, not talking to reporters after, you know, that little stuff. How much does that factor into any evaluation, Chris? Because certainly that is a part. Like, do NFL GMs really ding that, or do we as fans make too much of it?
No, I think they do. I mean, I don't personally, because I'm not able to talk to these players and say, hey, what happened here? Why were you crying in your mom's arms? Is that normal? Like, how'd your teammate react? But I think other positions, if there's a wide receiver who's a little upset or a deep tackle that slams his helmet after, you know, not getting a sack on third down, I don't think it's a big deal. But quarterbacks, it definitely matters. And it's about handling adversity. You are under the microscope every single week. If your team wins or loses, you're going to either get all the praise or all the blame. And I think, actually, this sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I think Josh Allen's a prime example. The fact that Caleb Williams went through adversity and struggled against pressure, lost some games, his defense couldn't hold up, they lost the bowl game against Tulane the year before, I think that helps him, because in Chicago, it's not going to be perfect right away. And there are going to be times where they lose games and he does get the blame. I think it's good to have that. Josh Allen certainly had that against Oregon, against Iowa, Boise State. Like, he had games that were really bad and learned how to just keep going and keep your head up when you're losing or you're not playing at your best. And that's certainly, you know, the NFL can humble the most talented quarterbacks in the league, and it does every year. So I think that's actually good for Caleb Williams, that he just didn't cruise to, like, back-to-back Heisman and never got pressured and never had any problems at USC.
Chris, I know you're churning out content like crazy at CBSSports.com. As the week progresses here, tell us a little bit more about your coverage and where we can get more of your work here leading up to Thursday and all weekend as well.
So I just posted my finalized big board. That's just my biggest project of the year, 280 prospects that I've watched, evaluated, written scouting reports on. That is on CBS Sports right now. My final mock draft will come out Wednesday, and they kind of let me tweak it a little Thursday morning if there's any major moves that happen. And then during the draft, from the start of the second round, pick 33, all the way until the last pick, 257, get the CBS Sports Draft Tracker as your bookmark, whether it's on your phone or on your computer, if you're following along with the draft. I'll be doing the live draft grades again, you know, 2-3 sentences on each player, the fit, the prospect, and then giving each a letter grade. So it's fun, exhilarating and exhausting at the same time. That's kind of been my go-to phrase with that.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of time. You got to do all the work ahead of time there, Chris. Chris, appreciate all the work that you do. We always remember when we were starting out how you came out to Three Heads, and we're always grateful for a little bit of your time and very happy to see what you're doing now these days.
Yeah, I think I should come back out to Three Heads after the draft, and we can talk about it.
Well, okay, let's do it.
Done.
Done deal.
Nice weather, you know, get out on the patio maybe. Like, that sounds good to me.
A little post-draft.
I'm kind of inviting myself on the show again.
A little post-draft roundtable.
Yeah,
I'm exactly. I'm into it. Chris, appreciate the time, man. And let's talk after the draft.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Passo, CBSSports.com. Man, the guy is just a machine at just pumping out draft content. Done a great job this season, as he does every year.
I'm believing the Bills will go somewhere other than wide receiver in round one.
What has you believing that?
And just positional value. And the, like you mentioned, the cost control and all those things we don't think about.
Right. Right. What's more important to them? Is it more important to control the cost for the first 5 years of a wide receiver's career or a defensive tackle or edge rusher?
You don't have Greg Rousseau, have to worry about that for another year, right. Basically. Yeah.
Right. You have Rousseau, and you know, Rousseau, and the only thing that would prevent them, and they wouldn't prevent them from doing this, but I mean, like, if you're Brandon Beeney, you're just gun shy at this point. Like, yeah, Ed Oliver's good. Greg Rousseau is good, but you didn't get a great player. Yeah, AJ Epenesa's good. Maybe Rousseau becomes a great player. We haven't seen it yet. He's good, right?
Yeah, but you could, like, to hear Chris say, hey, the four big names at edge rusher later rounds,
they might be there at 28 if you stay put. It'll be interesting to watch. Can't wait for it. Mention Three Heads. We will be there Thursday. Live show 3 until 6. Looking forward to seeing you at Three Heads, where you can enjoy the largest patio in Rochester. It's open now for the season. You can enjoy the Melon Head Watermelon Sour. Refreshing and delicious. Other fine beers as well. And you can get delicious wood-fired pizza from Freddy's. Have the truck set up there in the parking lot. And then Friday, we take it on the road again for day 2 of the NFL draft. We'll be in Chi Lai. The Tap Room at Bill Gray's, the Chi Lai Ave location. That's from 3 until 6, both Thursday and Friday. We take the show on the road for the NFL draft. Can't wait to experience it all and talk it all over with y'all. If you come out and hang, you know, we'll take care of you. We'll have a good time.
We can share a cold one and maybe a win or two.
As our friend Brett likes to say, happy hour is on the way next in the sports
park. Yeah, let's talk about the draft here. Let's also talk about the news that kind of slipped on Friday there. Wait a second. Terry Pegula is selling, potentially, part of the Buffalo Bills. What could this possibly mean?
That and more. Your phone calls always welcome. 866-4FAN. Pull up a stool. 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.